Deuteronomy chapter 1, please. Close up the ministry portion of the conference. I want to speak on being at a crossroads where there's two choices. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 5. We're going to read about Israel being at a crossroads, and then I'd like to apply it to us today. Deuteronomy 1, verse 5. On this side, Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying, "The Lord our God spake to us in Horeb, saying, 'Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you again and take your journey, and go to the mount of the Amorites, and all and unto all the places nigh.'" Verse 8, "Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them." Verse 19, "And when we departed from Horeb," or Sinai, "we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which you saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, 'You are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And you came near unto me, every one of you, and said, 'We will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come.'" Verse 26. "Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And you murmured, you complained in your tents and said, 'Because the Lord hated us, he has brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, The people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we've seen the sons of the Anakim there.' Then I said unto you, 'Dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goes before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, and all the way that ye went until ye came into this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went or is going in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in, and fire by night to show you by what way you should go, and in a cloud by day." Notice at the end of verse 31, "Until ye came into this place, yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God." There are times when people come to a crossroads in life. You're going along a path, and whether it's a fork in the road or just there are two ways possible. God had a purpose for Israel. He made it very clear. He wanted them to go and possess the land. He brought them out of Egypt. He'd taken them through the wilderness. He wanted them to possess the land. But we read of three times about the mountain of the Amorites. And so it seemed impossible. They had a choice. What are they going to do? What God wanted them to do? Or not do what God wanted them to do? God has a plan for your life and mine. Spiritual blessing. Possess, lay hold of the spiritual blessings that he's given us. He saved us, many of us here in this room. And if you're not saved, God willing, in just a few minutes, you will hear how you can be saved. Know for sure your sins are forgiven. Know for sure you're going to be in heaven at the end of this journey. But many of us, God has saved. He's brought us through this wilderness world. Some of us have been on the journey quite a while now. But there are mountains. There are difficulties. And there may be some in this room this afternoon, and you are at a very real crossroads in your life. There are decisions to be made, and you're wondering, what do I do? Now, with regard to the Israelites, it's easy to, if you know the context at all here, it's easy to say, well, why didn't they just do it? You know, you see people with t-shirts, just do it. Well, why didn't Israel, God had brought him miraculously out of Egypt. He'd brought him miraculously through the wilderness. God could have taken care of the problems there. Why didn't they do it? But don't be too hard on the Israelites. Because often we just don't do it either. Don't do what God wants us to do. Because the mountains seem insurmountable. I want to look quickly at three problems that the Israelites had that caused them not to go in. And, you know, it's not difficult to apply them to problems that we have today. First of all, they got some bad advice. They had some bad influences. You know, they sent the spies in to see what the land was like, and at least 10 of those spies came back and said, we're like grasshoppers. They're going to eat us up, basically. Can't be done. Don't go. And you know, we may get bad advice too from time to time. That's why it's so careful to pick your friends carefully, not just your own age, but even older ones, so that when it comes time when you need advice, and in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. I hope you just don't plunge on. You've got your own ideas. In major decisions, it's wise to consult others that you have confidence in. But here they got some bad advice. I remember when I was first saved, I was with the Pentecostals for a while and many godly people among them. But when I started coming to assembly meetings and some of them found out about it, they even used scripture to try to convince me that what I was doing was wrong. It was bad advice. They meant well. So they had some bad advice. They also had a bad attitude. Now, Brother Gary was speaking about that yesterday morning. In verse 27, Moses told them that he says, you're grumbling, complaining, and saying, because the Lord hated us, that's why he's brought us out of Egypt, and now he's going to destroy us, these Amorites. They had a bad attitude. They thought the Lord hated them. They thought the Lord didn't care. Do you ever doubt the Lord's care for you? You know, we're hearing about Satan. And it seems that this is one of his weapons. He fires these arrows to try to get us to doubt the Lord's care. And if we start to doubt the Lord's care, if he doesn't care, we're in trouble. But thirdly, they were discouraged. They thought they had bad circumstances. Verse 28, it talked about the people that are greater and taller than they were, and these cities walled up to heaven, and they talked about the giants. Circumstances. But you know, the same things affect us. People. You know, you can always see someone who does things better than you. Whether it's cooking, showing hospitality, whether it's praying or preaching, or making money, or all kinds of things. You can always see somebody that can do something better than you. And sometimes that hinders us from doing what God wants us to do. We think, well, you know, I can't do it as good as him or her. And we're at the crossroads. And instead of going on where God wants us, we go this way. Listen, this is what the Israelites did. God wanted them to go into the land. He was going to help them. But because of these mountains, the bad advice they got, the bad attitude they had, they thought God didn't care. The bad circumstances they thought they had, they went nowhere for 38 years. I mentioned about the people, mentioned about walls and about giants. Now, I don't have time to pursue that. But it's very interesting now after these problems, why they didn't just do it, why they didn't go possess the land, Moses says in verse 29, he tells them, listen, don't be afraid. But then he goes on and tells them why they don't need to be afraid. And he tackles these very issues. He takes them in reverse order. First of all, you know, they thought they had bad circumstances, and, you know, the people, the walls, and the giants, they were no match for them. Notice what he says in verse 30. The Lord your God, who is going before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. He reminds them how the Lord had helped them before in Egypt. And those of us who are saved, look back to that time when the Lord saved us. We are helpless. Talk about bad circumstances. And you know, I just enjoy this. The Lord your God, who is going before you, he'll fight for you. I was never much of a football player, but you know, if a person's running with the ball and there's some big guys coming at you, you would hope you'd have somebody out there running interference, blocking for you. Now, poor analogy maybe, but that's what I see here. Brother, sister, when you go to school tomorrow, maybe facing some giants, some mountains, or at work, or wherever your circumstances find you, nice to remember, the Lord's going to go there ahead of you. It's like he runs interference, and it says, he shall fight for you. The battle is the Lord's. David knew that when he went out against Goliath. Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles 20, when they went out against those three armies. Basically, the battle is the Lord's. So Moses reminded him of God's power. And then, you know, they thought the Lord hated them. They had a bad attitude toward God. Notice in verse 31, and in the wilderness, where you've seen how that the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son. The Lord doesn't care. Just think of where you and I could be today. Not just hell, but that's a possibility. But even from salvation's day, if the Lord hadn't carried us, and what a touching picture of a father carrying a little child. Isn't that what the Lord has done? And yet, because of the flesh and the devil, we can get wrong thoughts about God and think he doesn't care. He's carried us thus far. You know, there was one more thing, though. They felt they needed guidance, so they sent in the spies. They got some wrong advice. But when it comes to guidance, notice verse 33. Talking about the Lord, who went or who is going in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night, to show you by what way you should go, and in a cloud by day. Moses reminds him, listen, the Lord has guided you. And has he not guided us? So easy to forget this. You know, I was reading in Deuteronomy a number of years ago, and another brother and I, we were going to have gospel meetings in a certain town in Michigan. We had secured a building, a community building, but it was in the summer, and we wanted our families to be with us, and so we were going to camp in a nearby state campground. Well, another brother and I went there, and we found out that the place was full. But the attendant there said, you know, if you come back tomorrow, I think 8 o'clock or something, we have a certain number of sites that people can't reserve. First come, first serve. We said, fine. So the next morning, we got there way ahead of time, and my heart sunk as we drove up there. There was a big line in front of us. Now, I forget how many sites, 4, 8 sites. It wasn't very many that were supposed to be open. And so we're in line, and I'm praying, and I figured my partner was too. To make a long story short, When we got up to the window there, we got the last say. You say, what are you telling us about camping for? Well, to me it was important that my family was with me for this 3 or 4 weeks, however long we were going to be with me. We needed a place to pitch our tents. And this is where I was reading. Coincidence? I believe it was a divine provision. The Lord is going in the way before you, even to search you out a place to pitch your tents in. Brother, sister, he wants to guide us. He wants to guide us. Now, Moses is reminding the Israelites of all that God had done. He had fought for them. He had carried them. He had guided them. Notice at the end of verse 31, he says, until you came to this place. Now, I don't know what place you're in today, and I'm not speaking about this building here in Waukesha, but whatever place you're in life, God has helped us up to this place, has he not? But now, maybe we're at a crossroads. And notice what Moses said about the Israelites. He says, God has helped you until you come to this place. But he says, yet in this thing, you didn't believe, you didn't trust in the Lord your God. I wonder what is going to be said about us. Up until this point, the place we're in now, the Lord's helped us. But the question is, yet in this thing, will it be said? We believed, we trusted the Lord our God, or we didn't. May the Lord help us to learn from this example of the Israelites. You know, in Romans 15, we read, the things that are written aforetime were written for our learning, so that we through patience and the encouragement of the scriptures might have hope.